So before we get into the news, and believe me, we have a lot. We have 8 mugs left. Make sure you get yours before they're all gone. I don't entirely know if we're going to do the mug sales again. I'm not quite sure yet. We'll have to see how it all plays out. But for right now, we have 8 left. Don't miss out. And of course, you can get those by going to christiantruther.com. Just make sure you select store from the main menu. New York, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, a veteran diplomat known as a potent and personable voice for his country's interests, as he sparred with his Western counterparts, died suddenly after falling ill Monday in his office at the mission. Vitaly Churkin, 64, was taken to a hospital in New York where he died. Russia's deputy UN ambassador, Vladimir Safronkov, told the Associated Press. His cause of death wasn't immediately known. However, I have seen some reports stating that it was a heart attack. We'll see about all that. And of course, lately there's been a lot of Russians dying. Top-level Russians. Interesting to say the least. Congressional Black Caucus introduces a bill. Tax people for being white. This is the blacksphere.net. It's time for white people to pay the black tax. That's the tax for not having enough melanin in their skin, ergo gaining from white privilege. Yes, once more, white America suffers the guilt of people who haven't been slaves or oppressed in any way. The Congressional Black Circus, most more wealthy than 99% of our readers, race bait in order to keep the gravy train running. The Washington Examiner reported Representative John Coiners and the CBC have reissued a bill to study reparations for America's sin, past sin, of slavery. Again, the circus is at work, trying to divide and play the racial card, the race card. However, there's something else at play here, and we're seeing this blow up everywhere. Proof that Sweden is actively censoring news about migrant attacks. News article on migrant attack is mysteriously unavailable to read once you change your VPN or virtual private network to look like you're in Sweden. Have a look at this. So you can clearly see the Daily Mail article. And this, is about an attack. And as they switch the VPN on, watch what happens. Watch what happens. They go to reload the page, or excuse me, click on the link, Daily Mail. Now this is as if that individual was in Sweden. It's totally unavailable. How's that for censorship? To top that off, Reddit has been censoring this left, right, and center. This is the religionofpeace.com. /pages/articles/opinion-polls. Muslim opinion polls, a tiny minority of extremists. Now, this is an entire mass amount of links, to polls. Let me read. Have you heard that Islam is a peaceful religion? Because most Muslims live peacefully and only a tiny minority of extremists practice violence. That's like saying that white supremacy must be perfectly fine since only a tiny minority of racists ever hurt anyone. Neither does it explain why religious violence is largely endemic to Islam despite the tremendous persecution of religious minorities in Muslim countries. In truth, even a tiny minority of 1% of Muslims worldwide translates to 15 million believers, which is hardly an insignificant number. However, the minority of Muslims who approve of terrorists, their goals, or their means of achieving them is much greater than this. In fact, it isn't even a true minority in some cases, depending on how goals and targets are defined. The following polls convey what Muslims say their attitudes toward terrorism, Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, the 9/11 attacks, violence in defense of Islam, Sharia, honor killings, and matters concerning assimilation in Western society. The results are all more astonishing because most of the polls are conducted by organizations with an obvious interest in discovering agreeable statistics that downplay any cause for concern. Now, these have been compiled over the years, so not all links remain active. We will continue adding to this. Have a look at these polls. This right here, this is what I want to read you the most. And of course, I will leave this link at christiantruther.com/news. World public opinion. 83% of Egyptians approve of attacks on American troops. That's not a minority, that's a majority. 26% of Indonesians approve of attacks on American troops. 26% of Pakistani, approve of attacks on American troops. 68% of Moroccans approve of attack on American troops. 90% of Palestinians approve of attacks on American troops. 72% of Jordanians approve of attacks on American troops. 52% of Turks approve of some or most groups that attack Americans. 39% oppose, a minority. Of Muslims disagreed entirely with terror attacks on American troops. About half of those opposed to attacking Americans were sympathetic with Al-Qaeda's attitude toward the U.S. You need to let that sink in. This no longer is a minority, folks, of attack on Americans or the West or the troops. World Public Opinion 2009, 30% of Palestinians support attacks on American civilians working in Muslim countries. 24% support the murder of Americans on U.S. soil. Only 74% of Turks and 55% of Pakistanis disapprove of terror attacks against civilians on U.S. soil. The numbers are shocking. Pew Research 2010, 55% of Jordanians have a positive view of Hezbollah. I stumble reading something because it's just so shocking. We have been lied to. CNN and this mainstream crap fest that they have created is a joke compared to what polls actually say. And of course, you have mainstream media trying to state that, of course, nothing is going on in Sweden when they can't even read about their own attacks. Their news is being censored. It makes you wonder, what aren't we seeing here? That's the real question. So for anybody who has the time, it would be a good idea to get a virtual private network, a VPN, and of course browse the web from another country and see what you can see about the U.S. or of course the news that's available. Now this, of course, is in Sweden. These are riots and protests. Police fired warning shots at stone throwers. Monday night, police were forced to fire warning shots in Rinkeby. This after several people started throwing stones at police. This is translated, so it might not make when it's translated. In total, up to 100 people to be on the site. Right now, we assist the emergency services in their efforts to extinguish a fire, says Lars Bystrom, spokesperson at the Stockholm Police. The alarm came to the police at 2018 on Monday evening. A police patrol should then have been in the area for disposing of a wanted person. I think they were trying to arrest a person disposing. In connection with this began several people at the subway throwing stones at police. There appeared a number of young people throwing stones at the police patrol. I do not know how many it concerned, but there will be several people anyway, says Lars Bystrom, spokesperson at the Stockholm Police, told Expressen TV. Police patrol on the site must have felt so constricted that they were forced to fire warning shots in connection with the stoning. The police will then have withdrawn from the location of the called person. It has calmed down a bit now. It is not about any open fights, so to speak, says Eva Nilsson at 22 o'clock. Classified as rioting. 100 people on the site, and of course you can keep reading with this one while it kind of ends there, but you get my point. So what exactly is going on in Sweden? Huh. Looks like they can't even find out. We're on the right ladder of this AI this time. Satya Nadella. Nadella, which of course is the CEO of Microsoft. Satya, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, spoke at a public event in India on Monday, stressing upon the immense potential of artificial intelligence, calling it the ultimate breakthrough in technology. Because for all the advances in computer interface, there is nothing to beat language, the ability to do human-level speech recognition, he said during a fireside chat with Nandan, India's premier technocrat, and the brain behind the Aadhaar identification system. You know what's really interesting? This artificial intelligence and this souped-up technology, it's all watching us. If you have a TV, a smart TV in your living room, Samsung, the frickin' maker of these smart TVs, is telling you, don't even think about discussing personal information in front of the smart TVs because we're listening to you. Samsung, The maker of the smart TV is warning customers to not discuss personal information in front of their smart TVs in their own home. Now, of course, a smart TV, I'm imagining, would be placed in a living room or the main room. Well, I mean, it's the main room. A lot gets discussed in there, I would imagine. This technology, it's beyond creepy. And of course, you've got CEOs saying, we're on the right side of AI. We've got it all under control. But don't worry. Soon you'll all be out of a job. Mark Cuban, robots will cause unemployment and we need to prepare for it. What a wonderful idea. Let's all get universal basic income. We can all live on a welfare state and we can all have literally no purpose to living. Many people have... Let me rephrase this. Many people use work as the purpose for life. And I totally disagree with that because your purpose for life should be serving God, serving Christ. But many people have that ideology. Do you have any idea what that's going to do when people don't have a purpose-driven life? Because a lot of people base it off of work. This is going to create intense unemployment. This is going to create intense poverty. This is not going to bring people closer together. It's going to divide them further. The people at the top, they're going to skyrocket. You want to know what climate change was about? They don't need us peasants controlling their machines for them anymore. They have bots and robots that can do it all to replace us. And of course, just as the Georgia Guidestones state, population control. It's time to reduce the herd, folks. And they've got the technology to do it. And just in case we are just a little bit better than them, they're going to genetically engineer their own babies. So that way they can be stronger and faster and smarter. That's okay, because my God's still bigger. The USA just approved human embryo genome modification research, paving the way for designer babies. Do we have any idea what this means? Baby farms, designer babies, chimeras, and the whole host of the Nephilim can come back. They now have the technology to create it, to recreate it, I should say. And of course, they're going to bring this to the public eye like it's a good thing. We can cut out that disease for you. All you have to do is accept that your son or daughter is no longer going to be human anymore. Because what this creates, it takes the hand of God out of creation, or out of the creation of life, or a human life, and of course it places it in man's hands. I do not want man meddling around, of course, in my child's life, especially when it comes to scientists meddling around and things that they have no idea about. This is a new field. We've studied it. We can mess with the genes and cut some things out, and we'll just mutate this and put a little plant DNA in where it doesn't go, and so on and so forth. No. Sometime very soon, the first humans to be genetically edited will be born, and the United States just paved the way. In December 2015, scientists and ethicists at an international meeting held at the NAS in Washington said it would be irresponsible to use gene editing technology in human embryos for therapeutic purposes, such as to correct genetic diseases, until safety and efficacy issues are resolved. Well, just 2 years later, I don't think people realize how fast this stuff is going to go this year. You have got to pay attention to this technology. It's going to skyrocket. They have been under restrictions for the past 2 years. There was just a patent on CRISPR-Cas9, the technology that they use. There was a patent war over it between Berkeley and Harvard. And they weren't allowed to progress with their research. That's all just done now. And now you have the National Academy of Sciences and the National Academy of Medicine issuing reports outlining the permissible circumstances upon which the research into editing human embryos could be conducted. In 2017, on February 14th, 2 years later, this is just like a turnabout of decision-making here, it's going to take off. I would estimate that within 10 years, easily within 10 years. And of course, that's also based on what they're saying too. Their latest statement signals that the NAS is softening its approach to the use of gene editing technology such as CRISPR-Cas9. Previously, genome editing was already being planned for use in clinical trials on people to correct diseases. However, the primary concern is over the utilization of the technology in human reproductive cells or early embryos, because the changes would be passed along to offspring. Although gene editing of human reproductive cells to correct inherited diseases must be approached with caution, caution does not mean prohibition, the committee said in a statement. The rise in genome editing signals the real end of the human being. Simply put, directly after the first genome alteration and birth, the natural genome would be something entirely man-made. The natural germline, I should say, would be something entirely man-made. It would not be... It's tricky wording because, of course, men and women, you know, create babies. But man-made, I should say science-made. And, of course, we know that God blesses each child. God blesses the parents with a child. God has his hands in that creation. And when they totally remove that, I don't even want to know what they're going to create. APS linemen headed to Northern California to help with the power outages. Phoenix, Arizona. A few dozen Arizona Public Service linemen are headed to California today to help other crews get power back for thousands of people after powerful storms look it out. They're pretty prepared all the time. They're ready to go at a moment's notice for our restoration. So to have restoration in another place is just a little more drive time, said Shane. APS supervisor. Sorry, I don't know why I screwed that up. APS is part of a mutual assistance group on the West Coast where 50 different utilities help each other out about once a year. 8 4-man crews, so 32 guys, mechanic support groups going as well, said Hrober. Crews are trained, and are ready to help restore power. Now, of course, we know what's going on in California. They're getting smacked with water. Literally. Trump administration had a secret plan to lift Russian sanctions and cede Ukraine territory to Moscow. Senior Trump aides met with an opposition politician from Ukraine in New York. President Trump's personal lawyer and a former business associate met privately in New York City last month with a member of the Ukrainian parliament to discuss a peace plan for that country that could give Russia long-term control over territory it seized in 2014 and lead to the lifting of sanctions against Moscow. The meeting with Andriy V. Artemenko, the Ukrainian politician, involved Michael Cohen, a Trump organization lawyer since 2007, and Felix Sater, a former business partner who worked on real estate projects with Trump's company. The occurrence of the meeting, first reported Sunday by the New York Times, suggests that some in the region aligned with Russia have been seeking to use Trump business associates as an informal conduit to a new president who has signaled a desire to forge warmer relations with Russia. The discussion took place amid increasingly intense scrutiny of the ties between Trump's team and Russia, as well as escalating investigations on Capitol Hill of the determination by U.S. intelligence agencies that the Kremlin intervened in last year's election to help Trump. You know what's really interesting? I want you to think back to a couple of years ago when Obama, just before his second selection, he told the Russian president at the time, "I'll have more flexibility after I'm reelected." He already knew he was going to be selected and told the Russian president that he is going to have more flexibility after he is reelected. Well, what in the world did that mean, first of all? And now fast forward to this. We see the situation currently unfolding, but what does it all mean? Surprise. At the end, Obama administration gave NSA broad new powers. This story, from the January 12, 2017 edition of the New York Times, was little remarked upon at the time, but suddenly has taken on far greater significance in light of current events. In its final days, the Obama administration has expanded the power of the National Security Agency to share globally intercepted personal communications with the governments, 16 other intelligence agencies, before applying privacy protections. This is huge. The new rules significantly relax long-standing limits on what the NSA may do with the information gathered by its most powerful surveillance operations, which are largely unregulated by American wiretapping laws. These include collecting satellite transmissions, phone calls, and emails that cross network switches abroad, and messages between people abroad that cross domestic network switches. The change means that far more officials will be searching through raw data. Essentially, the government is reducing the risk that the NSA will fail to recognize that a piece of information would be valuable to another agency, but increasing the risk that officials will see private information about innocent people. Former Obama officials say Netanyahu turned down a secret peace deal, AP. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejected a peace deal during a secret meeting orchestrated by the then Secretary of State John Kerry last February that sought to move toward ending the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, according to an AP report on Sunday. Netanyahu participated in this secret meeting on February 21, 2016, in Jordan with King Abdullah II of Jordan and President el-Sisi of Egypt. Former U.S. officials told the AP Haaretz, an Israeli newspaper, first reported the meeting. According to the AP, Kerry proposed renewed Israeli-Palestinian peace talks in exchange for regional recognition that Israel is a Jewish state, which would have included peace with dozens of Muslim and Arab nations. Netanyahu has long sought for Israel to be recognized regionally, turned down the offer because he would have to pull out from territories seized in the 1967 Mideast War, which are now occupied by Israelis. The arrangement reportedly also would have called for recognition of Jerusalem as a shared capital for Israelis and Palestinians and softer language on the right to return for Palestinian refugees who lost properties in what is now Israel. The official speaking to the AP saw this deal as a way of updating but not superseding the 2002 Arab Initiative. The proposal was apparently positively received by Egyptian and Jordanian leaders, but Netanyahu would not commit to it. Netanyahu declined the offer, citing the lack of support in his hardline nationalist government as the primary reason, the AP reports. So again, they're working in the back rooms to create the peace deal. Let that sink in. What else are they doing in the back rooms? NASA to host major press conference on discovery beyond our solar system. Exoplanets are the best hope for finding a life away from Earth. NASA is to host a major press conference on discovery beyond our solar system. The event will see the revelation of major information about exoplanets, or planets that orbit stars other than our sun. According to a release, it made no further mention of the details of what would be revealed. Exoplanets are the major hope for life elsewhere in the universe, since many have been found that resemble our own Earth and could have been the building blocks of life. More of them are being discovered all the time. Now, of course, what does the Bible say? That's all I'm going to say. What does the Bible say about this? The event will take place on 22 February at 1 p.m., the 22nd of February at 1 p.m., New York time, it said. It will be streamed live on NASA's television station and on its website. So what does the Bible say about this? Let me know what you think in the comments. This is very dangerous. Ann Coulter states that Donald Trump is head of church. Whoa. Whoa. Okay, no, he's not. No. And this is what I was very concerned about. Again, there seems to be something that takes place in politics where these narcissistic leaders like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton gain a cult-like following. And it appears as though Coulter has fallen right into that trap, and I don't know how many other people have. This is why I told you, they own both sides. You have to remember this. Because Ann Coulter's tweet, which is right here, Trump is already head of state. After that press conference, in my eyes, he's now head of church. I just stumble reading that. Because there's only one head of church, and it's Jesus Christ. And there are some other people who are mentioning here. Let me find. Jesus is head of church. Any man trying to take that position is biblically the Antichrist. There is always, and it has been this way for the past few years, a cult-like following of the politicians who are in power. This is very dangerous, folks. If you've fallen into the Trump trap, and we can't really call it a trap yet, because this is somebody else's words, you get what I'm saying. Seek ye the truth and be set free. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, not Trump. Does not matter who is president, Jesus Christ is still king. He is on the throne, not Trump. Best-selling conservative author Ann Coulter recently claimed that President Donald Trump is, in her opinion, head of state and now head of church. In a Twitter message posted Thursday, Coulter explained that she was impressed with President Trump's handling of that day's press conference. Trump was already head of state. After that press conference, in my eyes, he is now head of church, tweeted Coulter. As of Friday morning, the tweet calling Trump the head of church has garnered more than 11,000 likes and over 2,500 retweets. It also received many comments. Some of those critical of Coulter's claim pointed out that Christ is the head of the church. Others called it creepy. This is not the first time that Coulter has used religious imagery when describing her support for Trump. And again, right there, the following of Trump is starting to look like a cult. That's very dangerous. We had a Princeton professor yesterday just come out and said that the climate change deniers are a cult. We had the people following Hillary Clinton. They were acting like a cult. We have, of course, Barack Obama's cult. You see what's happening here? It seems as though every single person that is rising to power is somehow generating a cult-like following. It's got to make you wonder. There's been a general trend here for the past several years, and it would appear as though Trump broke that trend. But I'm not so sure, and neither should you be. This is not the first time that Coulter has used religious imagery when describing her support for Trump. Last August, Coulter released a book whose title changed the United States motto, "In God We Trust," to "In Trump We Trust." This is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Titled "In Trump We Trust," Coulter wrote the book to drum up support for the Republican presidential nominee, Trump. Donald Trump isn't a politician. He's a one-man wrecking ball against our dysfunctional and corrupt establishment. We're about to see the deluxe version of the left's favorite theme, "Vote for us or we'll call you stupid." It's the working class against the smirking class. Read the book's description on Amazon. In this powerful book, Coulter explains why conservatives, moderates, and even disgruntled Democrats should set aside their doubts and embrace Trump. Her stated reasons for supporting Trump, as laid out by the book, included he's putting America first in our trade deals and alliances rather than pandering to our allies and enemies. He's ended GOP pandering to Hispanic activists with his hardline policy on immigration. He's overturned the media's traditional role in setting the agenda and defining who gets to be considered presidential. And he exposed political consultants as grifters and hacks, most of whom don't know real voters from a hole in the ground. Coulter's head of church comment came in response to Trump's press conference held Thursday, which lasted over an hour and was noted for, among other things, its attack on mainstream media outlets. He displayed a sense of anger and grievance rarely vented by a president in public, let alone one who has been in office for just 4 weeks, concluded one CNN reporter. Trump's appearance betrayed apparent deep frustration, not just with the media coverage of this White House and a desire to talk directly to the American people, but also possibly dismay with aides charged with defending him. This is very dangerous talk, because it has to make you wonder who else is now going to believe that Donald Trump is now head of church, after what Coulter said. We need to think about this. We need to be awakened to the truth, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ. What Coulter said is very dangerous. Do not be deceived. That's all I've got for you. I want to thank you all for watching and listening. Make sure you become a member of ChristianTruther.com. That way you don't miss the latest exclusive. God bless and carry on.